The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us, and we shall be satisfied. Heal us, and we shall be made whole. Make us one with you, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
First reading from Acts. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas and the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners Peter and John stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This is Jesus, the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Word of God, word of life. Second reading, a reading from 1 John. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need, yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in words or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
I
remember a visit with Don Snowden, a member of the church who recently passed away. And I had this conversation with him right around the time he had started hospice. And he was telling me about all the people from the church who were visiting him and doing so many things for him. Some of the deacons had taken him the Sunday bulletin and prayed with him and shared communion with him. Some others brought balloons or a favorite photo
or even a little Christmas tree to decorate his room. A few friends had taken some of his favorite pieces of furniture from his condo over to the nursing home to give him that sense of home and delight in that furniture that Don had built with his own hands and designed as well. Don told me about dear friends who were stopping by over their lunch break or right after work, and those people who took day by day from their personal schedules to be with him and to share with him their great concern and care. Don said that all that love made this valley of the shadow of death turn into a blessing. Don said that he always knew that he had friends, but this final illness manifested such a great outpouring of love. He said that it was in this that he truly knew that he was loved, that he had seen the face of God in these friends. Isn't it wonderful to see the face of God in friendship? That's what the church, that's what the life in the congregation can do. I heard someone say once that Christ is present to us insofar as we are present to each other. Now, earlier in this service, we sang together Psalm 23. But I'd like to reinforce those beautiful words and read it together now. So if you take your book and turn to Psalm 23, and the Psalms are right before the hymns, so the number will be at the top of the page, Psalm 23. And I would like us to read, boy, the book fell right open to it. I'd like us to read that together. Everybody have that? Psalm 23. It's about this far into the book. Kind of toward the front. All right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't close your books. I might want to refer to that again. So when we pray Psalm 23, the you that is in there, we address to the Lord. We're talking about God. But listen, what if the you in that psalm is you? What if it's the people around you who are overhearing your prayer, overhearing you inviting, be with us, be church for us, be God's presence and friendship in our life? I fear no evil because you are with me. Yes, I'm praying and saying this about the Lord, but I also want you to hear this from me and each other to hear it from each other. I fear no evil because you are with me. This is a prayer for companionship, a prayer for us to be drawn together, for our presence to be signs of God's presence, our love to be signs of God's love. We pray, for you are with me. What good news it is that God is with us. But there is more. that we are with one another, that we are with God when we are with one another. God's love means community. It means incarnation, God becoming flesh so that God can be as close as possible to be with us. And we find ourselves in God's life when we are drawn into the life of others, friends and strangers, neighbors across the street, neighbors across the ocean. Last week, the children in the preschool made prayer banners, blessing flags that we used as decoration for the open house. For me, it's delightful to hear the prayers of the little ones. And they were saying, they were asked, you know, what do you want to thank God for? Fuzzy pajamas, my house, my ocean, or dogs, except the scary one across the street, or dinosaurs. You know, I'm blessed to hear those prayers of the children, but I'm also blessed to hear the prayers and the requests for prayer from so many people. Prayers of grief at the loss of a loved one, pleading for wholeness in the face of broken bodies, broken spirits, petitions to end war and violence in our cities and around the world, calls for God to bring justice and mercy to those who have experienced neither. It seems when we line out all of our prayers and our petitions that our world is indeed walking through the valley of the shadow of death. David, or whoever wrote Psalm 23, seems to know this world. And he knows that there isn't any promise that we will have a life without enemies or without evil. We know too well the reality of that in our flawed world. We aren't promised that there isn't going to be trouble in our world. But here, in this valley, surrounded by enemies, in Psalm 23, says that there is a table. Now, tables have a purpose. And the psalmist tells us that this table is not without purpose either. This table represents a place of fellowship, a place of communion. This is a place for God to be with us and for us to be with one another. It's around that table that God happens. There's a new mission start, a new Lutheran church just starting in Orange County. And Pastor Ronin has decided to call the church The Table. And they're meeting on Sunday mornings at the Synod office, which is quite near Disneyland. And I was very happy that Pastor Ronin didn't look at St. Peter's by the Sea and say, oh, we should name the church by what we are next to. Can't you just imagine St. Mickey's of the Magic Kingdom? It didn't seem quite appropriate. So the table. As a church, we live in hope, and we set up tables wherever we find ourselves, surrounded by enemies, in the midst of pain and death, in spite of our doubts and our sin. And we do what God does. Fill that table with mercy and goodness. The church, the community of those who are trying to live faithful and fruitful lives, sometimes succeeding, sometimes not. The church is us, gathered in a place where all are welcome in God's love. It's a table. The church is a table where all are welcome to eat and drink God's life. The church is us, the body of Christ for the world. The church is in us, where God is made real, in the presence of one another. I want us to read that psalm again. And when you get to verse 4, imagine that your neighbors are overhearing you, and you are overhearing their prayer, asking you to be with them. Let's read that psalm again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.